We're starting a new series this week, our Christmas series, thinking particularly of where do we find hope in uncertainty. And so our reading today comes from Luke chapter 1. It's verses 26 to 38, and Elizabeth's going to come forward and read that to us. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38.
Good morning, everybody. Our reading this morning is entitled The Birth of Jesus Foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her.
That's great. Thanks, Elizabeth, so much. We are living in really uncertain days, aren't we? My guess is that very few of us have ever faced days quite like these, of not quite knowing what the next week is going to bring. Now, that's true on big scales, isn't it, at the moment, that the Brexit talks today. For some people, some companies, it's going to make a big difference what the outcome is. What will trade be like? What will movement of things be like across the channel and back again? For some of us this week, as decisions are made about which tier we're going to be in, I think is it Wednesday or Thursday that's going to be revisited? Again, for some of us, that will make a big difference. Our businesses, our jobs might well be affected by what decisions are made. For some of us, we don't know what's going to happen in the week ahead, but it could well be, just like one of my daughters this week, you suddenly have to self-isolate it's now 10 days, isn't it? Not 14. Uncertainty. Many of us have been scrabbling around trying to work out Christmas. What's Christmas going to look like? Who might we see? Where will we be? And maybe already those plans have been changed and probably, don't think you've got it sussed and all worked out at this stage, probably they'll change again. We're living in days of uncertainty. Where do we look for hope in all of this? Where can we turn to? What can we have in our lives which is solid and certain and secure? Well, that's where our Christmas series comes in, looking for hope in uncertainty. Where do we look? Today we're going to look at a promise made, or some promises made. Promises that we can hold on to, that give us a sense of certainty even today. Here in Luke chapter 1, we hear an interaction between the angel Gabriel and Mary. In our Advent readings this week, we thought a little bit about angels, these messengers from God. And they play a big part in the Christmas story. They help us to understand what was going on. If we just saw what was going on, we wouldn't fully understand. But the angels reveal to us, this is what's taking place. Indeed, they tell us ahead of time, this is what will take place. That helps us see this is all God's initiative, God's doing. This isn't people acting to do things on their own part. No, this is God at work. His initiative. If we were reading through Luke's gospel, we'd have already been introduced to a couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They've also had a visit from an angel revealing to them that they are going to unexpectedly have a child. They'd given up hope that that would be possible. But God, via an angel, had told them it would be so. And it's this Elizabeth that's referred to at the beginning of our reading. Verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Notice the details we're given here. Luke sort of strips it back. He tells us where we get the geography, first of all. This is Nazareth in Galilee. And when we hear what he's going to say, initially we might think, well, that's a problem, because in our kids' talk, we've just been told Bethlehem's the place. But here we are in Nazareth. Has the angel got it wrong? Well, we know, most of us, don't we, how it is they end up in Bethlehem. But here they are in Nazareth. Here's Mary in Nazareth. She and Joseph are picked out. There's a couple. She's pledged to be married. He, we're not given his name yet, but he is a descendant of David. Luke doesn't even bother to tell us which David, does he? Because he expects the readers of his gospel, and indeed us, if we've got to know bits from the Bible, who is this David? And again, in our kids' talks a couple of weeks ago, we thought about a promise made to a David of a descendant who would be king forever. And there's Mary, this woman who we're told twice is a virgin. Verse 28, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Highly favoured, it's an expression of God's grace towards her. You just imagine what that must have been like for Mary. Suddenly, this angel, and we're not given a description of what he looked like, but there he was, speaking to Mary. "Greetings. The Lord is with you." Like us, I guess, verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what was coming next. What was he going to say? But as the angel speaks, we hear him deliver some extraordinary promises. He describes what God is going to do, and in fact, he uses the word "will" 10 times. This will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen, predicting it in advance. I'm going to sort of, rather than have 10 points, we're just going to have 2 and then an extra one on the end. I'm going to condense them, these promises that God makes through the angel. Let's sort of package them down into 2. The first is this: God promises an extraordinary pregnancy. God promises an extraordinary pregnancy. Verse 30. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Not through her efforts, but through God's grace. And he goes on to say, here's the grace coming your way. Out of all women, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Now, Mary knew how babies are normally conceived, and so she's puzzled. How will this be, she says, verse 34, since I am a virgin? Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. We get from this and her response that she's not slept with him yet, or indeed anyone else. That's her following God's design, isn't it? That's God's intent for sexual relationships, that they are to be kept for marriage. Mary is living in line with God's will. So how will this be? Well, verse 35, the angel answers, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, there is mystery here. How exactly was Jesus conceived? This is all we're given. But we're given enough, aren't we, to hold on to. This is extraordinary. This is indeed unique. We've just said, we've recited in the Creed a few minutes ago, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Jesus will be conceived in Mary's womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. And to help Mary believe that this is what's going to happen, he points her to her relative Elizabeth. Verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. And look at the really important line that comes next, verse 37. For no word from God will ever fail. Hope in uncertainty. No word from God will ever fail. As Christians, we can get into trouble by thinking God has promised us something and then it doesn't happen, and we can lose our way, lose our faith. So it's really important, isn't it, that we are clear on what has God promised us, what do we hold on to that we can be sure of. Here, in these words, the Lord Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, unique, fully human, conceived in Mary's womb, fully God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. This will happen, says the angel to Mary. When God says something will happen, it will happen. God promises an extraordinary pregnancy. Secondly, God promises an extraordinary baby. And Gabriel piles up the extraordinary things about this child. He is a saviour. Verse 31, we get that from the name that Mary is told to name this baby. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. Jesus, which means God saves. That this baby was to be a saviour. He's worthy of praise. Verse 32, he will be great. Wonder where your mind goes just with those words that are a description of Jesus. He will be great. To many of us, that might seem a bit of an understatement, mightn't it? We could surely say so much more. He will be great. Who do you know that's great? Jesus is greater, wiser, more powerful, more full of compassion, stronger. He will be great. He is worthy of our praise. He will be God's Son. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. Verse 35, we read, he will be called the Son of God. And as we read through the Gospels, we see that's to be true. Jesus, God's Son. He's the promised eternal King. The Lord God, verse 32, will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. We might think initially that's quite narrow. He's reigning over Jacob's descendants, but we know as we read through the rest of the Bible, we see that Jacob's descendants actually is broader, isn't it? Because the Gentiles are included. We are included. We're trusting in Jesus as God's people, and he will reign forever. Oh, I've gone through those things really quickly. Those words would be worth meditating on this afternoon. How does Gabriel describe Jesus? How does he describe this one to be born? We mustn't grow complacent about who Jesus is or what he's like. Let's beware getting more excited about human leaders, about people, about those who seem to be wise in our world, or about those who write good books or are good at sport or brilliant at music. Let's not get more excited about them than we get about Jesus. There is none like him. He was to be an extraordinary baby who would grow into an extraordinary man. Promises made by God of who this child would be. An extraordinary pregnancy, an extraordinary baby. How does Mary respond? Mary responds with ordinary faith. Now you might say, hang on a minute, Nigel, that doesn't quite make sense. Surely you'd use the word extraordinary again, wouldn't you? You've used it twice. Normally with sermons, there's a bit of a theme flowing through. Surely it was extraordinary faith, wasn't it, that Mary shows? Shouldn't we elevate her, worship her, revere her? The church has certainly sought to do that, hasn't it, over the generations. The Catholic Church, perhaps ahead of them all, as to this is Mary and we put her on a pedestal. But look at what Luke tells us. What is Mary's response, verse 38? I am the Lord's servant, she answers. May your word be fulfilled. Now, Mary simply trusts, doesn't she? What do we do with a promise? There's two options with a promise, aren't there? We believe it or we don't believe it with a promise. We trust it or we don't trust it. We have faith in it or we don't have faith in it. What does Mary do with these promises? She trusts. She believes. We're going to look at her response next week, hear something of her song. And as we hear her song, we see that she has an understanding of who God is and what he's like and what he's promised. And so she knows that she can trust God's word, even though it seems unbelievable that she would suddenly be pregnant without sleeping with a man. That she would give birth to the Son of God. That her baby would go on to rule forever. Knowing who gave that promise, she trusts. And we're faced with the same choice, aren't we? God's made promises to us. If we trust in the Lord Jesus, we can be forgiven anything we've done. That's an extraordinary promise, isn't it? Anything? Jesus is coming back one day, that this world will be made new and he will rule and there'll be no more suffering or crying or pain. That's an extraordinary promise, isn't it? We look around at this world and we think, is that true? Is it going to happen? We trust. It's ordinary faith. The same ordinary faith that we see Mary have in Luke chapter 1 is the same call that's made for us? Will we trust those promises? The world seemingly in chaos at the moment. This virus, well, there's hope. Maybe next year we'll be able to do this and this and this, but there's still uncertainty. But the Bible says God is in charge. He's sovereign. He's still in control. We trust. Doesn't look like it, but we trust. It's faith. It's ordinary faith. Hope in uncertainty. Where do we look to? What do we grab hold of? What's going to hold us steady within uncertain days? It's the Word of God. His word will never fail, said the angel Gabriel. We can hold on to his promises. Jesus is Lord. He was born just as Gabriel said he would be. He is a saviour, just as Gabriel promised he would be. He is king, just as Gabriel promised he is. We can trust in God's word, and what security that brings. What steadiness, what peace to our mind and our heart. Jesus is Lord. He is my saviour. He's got this. He's got me. He will bring me through. We can simply trust. Have ordinary faith. Like Mary did. That day she met the angel Gabriel. Shall we pray before we sing or listen or join with a closing song? Our Father, guard us from complacency as we read these familiar passages, as we look again at that first Christmas time. Father, may we see these wonderful promises that are made of who the Lord Jesus would be, what he would come to do, what he would be like. And Father, as we trust these things to be true, by your Spirit, would you apply just the difference that makes to our hearts and minds as we're faced with uncertain times at the moment? Would you help us to trust that we're safe in Jesus' hands? He's our Saviour. That the future is secure ultimately with you. He is reigning and will reign forever. That we are right with you through Jesus, that we can know forgiveness from whatever if we simply trust in him, in his death on our behalf, in his resurrection. Father, help us to have that ordinary faith that Mary has by looking to you and trusting in you. Father, may that be true of us this week. May it shape our decisions, our behavior, our reactions. Because we're trusting in your word. Father, help us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.